the intro.
Hello. Hello. And welcome to Coffee with Cashy. I am your host, Dr. Trevor Cashy. Today's lesson, going into part two of cracking the code of self-control. Now, for a bit of review here, we tend to focus too heavily on controlling things, mostly external outcomes. They are beyond us. And this dire need for control, creates impulses to do less smart stuff and more dumb stuff. This is a prescription for frustration, anxiety, and misery. The thought processes that underlie a lot of that foolishness, it happens underneath our noses, kind of half-conscious-like, okay? And it can be made front and center so that we can reverse current habits, which means that we can do less dumb stuff and more smart stuff, and achieve that while staying composed, poise. This is what rational living is all about. So this moves us to point four. And point four is actually going to be the bulk of the lesson today. The previous lesson we covered points one through three. And point four is shifting the focus away from the outside stuff and on to the inside stuff. When we focus on BS, our belief systems we have, and we combine the cognitive, emotive, and behavioral methods of change that we discussed in the previous lesson, it really puts a spotlight on the stuff that keeps us stuck. Okay? And when we get stuck, we tend to take a practical problem and upgrade it into an emotional disturbance. Dr. Cashy calls this double trouble, because now we've got two things to deal with, or more. It's the original problem that's waiting to be solved by practical means, and now we got this other mental baloney that's getting in the way, probably causing its own practical problems. Then you start layering these practical problems and these emotional problems on top of each other. Maybe there's a big project at work, practical issue that built up some anxiety, little emotional turbulence that led to procrastination, practical issue that led to burning the midnight oil with bad sleep, more practical issues, and then some stress, a little emotional disturbance, and then more snacking. And that led to weight gain, practical problem, right in the old belly, which is a practical and emotional problem. And before we know it, feels like our jobs made us stressed and fat. So after a lot of experimentation and academic snooping and private practice and lots of clinical experience gotten from all around, some people call that research, mostly just academic snooping, right? Turns out most of these problems are resulting from distortions, whacked out beliefs and perspectives. Our distortions are easily categorized through these four other D's. So these are the four D's of distortion, okay? It starts with demandingness, disasterfying, damnation of ourselves and others, and our defeatism. So we'll go through all four of these one at a time. So let's start with demandingness. And we can loop back to point two, okay, in the previous lesson, the dire need for control. Beliefs that have an underlying should, must, have to, gotta, need, right? Very black and white, I need this, I should have it, I must, I have to, I gotta, okay? These are all inherently black and white with that language. It's either a plus or a minus. And when we start making commands and demands of ourselves like that, it creates an automatically sort of black and white, all or nothing perspective, and it creates an underlying or else, an implied or else. And then we leverage that as permission to upset ourselves. So we can ruminate over what we absolutely must have or else, and we don't have it. And if we don't have it and we must have it, well, then that's a very strange sort of dichotomous thing, where if you think you need something, well, what happens when you don't have what you need? Well, in most cases, you die. That's what a need is. And so when you start using that sorts of language, it's like my life is over. And then it becomes a disaster, which we'll get to in a second. Okay, so there's ruminations over what we absolutely must have and we don't. So if we don't have it, does that mean we must have it? Well, strictly speaking, no. If we must have it, we would already, right? So we must have it or else. Or what can't be happening and should never happen. And it is happening. Okay? It can't be happening and should never happen or else. And if it's already happening, well, then it can happen. And so you see how we can set up these sorts of beliefs that conflict with reality? If we say this can't be happening and it is happening, I am literally saying what is happening cannot happen. And it is. And so we end up making beliefs that actually conflict with reality, which sounds silly when we say it, because the abstract brain, you know, you can kind of take that extra step. We can take that extra step and say, you know, that's actually kind of silly. And when we're upset, we skip that extra step. We skip that extra step and end up kind of believing it, right? And that's when the or else comes into play. So we have the ruminations over what we absolutely must have or else, even if, and we don't have them, which automatically incorporates the or else, that this can't be happening and should never happen or else, and it is happening, which means the or else automatically activates that permission. They should really treat me better or else. But they're not treating me the way I want to be treated, which automatically means I have permission to activate that or else. So or else what? The other three D's start kicking into action. So if our first D is demandingness, our second D might be something like disasterfying. Always, never, everything, everyone, nothing, no one. It never works and always fails every time. Right? So if I want something and I must have it and I don't have it, well, then it's a disaster. This never works. It always fails. We go right from one black and white sort of demand and command to now a black and white judgment of the situation. And that's horrible. It's terrible. It's awful. It's a disaster, right? And or we go into damnation or damning of ourself and others when we beat ourselves up, give ourselves negative labels and call ourselves names, freaking stupid, idiot, weak, dumbass, failure. Or maybe we start damning other people. They're freaking dumbass idiots, stupid failures, right? How dare they screw it up and screw us, right? How dare they screw me like that? And lastly, there's defeatism. And defeatism is when it's just too much. It's too hard. It's overwhelming and you can't stand it. Even though you really are standing it because you're still here. So it kind of loops back into that demandingness again. If we say we can't stand it and we're still around, well, it turns out we're actually standing it. And so when we start making up, like when we start having these beliefs, we tell ourselves as BS, we cultivate this belief system that's in conflict with reality. It's too much. I can't do it. I'm overwhelmed. Well, if that were the case, you'd be dead. And since you are around to complain, that actually means you can stand it, which means you can do something about it. And that's good. Okay. Otherwise, it ends up going into the why bothers. What's the point? You know, we give up on ourselves, the defeatism. So breaking down these four D's of the distortions again, there's demandingness, there's disasterfying, there's defeatism, and there's really damnation, damning ourselves and others. Boiled down, we play victim to our circumstances, giving away all our power instead of harnessing it to make the situation better. And as a result, we become emotionally disturbed. We disturb ourselves. We go from feeling appropriately motivated, right? If something ugly kind of happens, we do get motivated to make it better, right? And if it's too much, if we decide it exceeds our tolerance, right, we get disturbed and then start thinking silly stuff. That's what double trouble is. And we become emotionally disturbed and our rational thinking goes out the window. And impulsivity is sky high and we do less smart stuff and more dumb stuff. Our concern, healthy concern, our sense of duty to want to do better turns into anxiety, danger, what if, what if, what if, what if. Feeling bummed and appropriately sad turns into really turning depressed or depressive, okay? Where something crappy may have happened and then you can work yourself up to the point, I can work myself up to the point, we can all work ourselves up to the point of just being completely demolished, okay? Or our irritations and our hassles turn into anger or even rage, right? So something that really is a hassle, we can work ourselves up about it and then act out, have a paroxysm is the fancy word. We have an outburst and really do something silly. And even if we do something silly and it turns out okay, that's wasted blood pressure and heartbeats we could have been using to make the situation better, right? And of course, feelings of remorse or slight regretitude might turn into something like embarrassment, guilt, or shame, right? We can all goof up and then, you know, have feelings of remorse. So like, okay, that was silly. Next time I'll change it. Or we can make a goof and be like, wow, I am ashamed of myself. And now I'm going to withdraw and I'm going to hide away, and I'm going to really beat myself up about this and possibly figure out what the heck is wrong with everyone else that then contributed to my failing, okay? So feelings of remorse end up turning into guilt and shame when it gets too intense, when you get into double trouble. Thinking and acting rationally is to dissect all that stuff, because those disturbances are the result of distortions, one of those four Ds, or a combination of all four Ds in a lot of cases, and that when we analyze them rationally, they are dumb. They're dumb. And they're foolish. And when we use the cognitive, emotive, and experiential methods described before, even with the slightest amount of disputation, we can see that this BS we tell ourselves that keeps us stuck and gives us permission to do silly stuff and make things worse, which leads to even more upsetness and more silly stuff, really is distorted. We think all this bad stuff happens to us when we throw away our roles and the outcome, our own response. And that means we simultaneously throw away all our power to change it. Good luck, right? When the BS you tell yourself, the belief system you have, has everything happening externally, happening to you, well, then you automatically get to activate that or else and give yourself permission to give up, make things into a disaster, damn yourself or others, start demanding things of yourself and others that are also above what is realistic and what is logical, what is reasonable, what is rational, right? And you do end up getting emotionally disturbed and you defeat yourself, right? So what else can we say about this? If we become blind, actually, let's back up a second. The whole point is that when that ends up happening, you get into double trouble, you get further from where you want to be and you get stuck, right? We get upset. How do we know when we're doing this to ourselves? That's the part that I was skipping over. How do we know we're doing this to ourselves? Well, we know we're doing it to ourselves when we get upset. When we get upset beyond our ability to think rationally and act deliberately on purpose and with purpose. If we feel inhibited to act in a way that makes sense to help us, that's how we know we are emotionally disturbed. That's okay. Now that it's identified, what happens, right? If we become blind to and ignore and overlook what we do have, if we become blind to ignore and overlook the resources that we do have in the people, in our skills, in our situation, in our experiences, then we start obsessing over the things that we don't have but must. And we put pressure on ourselves to act how we have to act and should act and be treated in a certain way and get all the things we need and to get all the things exactly how we plan to get them or else, right? When you start overlooking all that other stuff, the focus ends up going on to the external stuff. And we start chasing what feels good instead of living a good life. We start trying to do what feels right instead of making the right decision. We start indulging in our vices instead of cultivating our virtues. We start ignoring the present to torment ourselves about the future. And this blocks us from actually achieving what we set out to do, because that can only happen if you do something about it in the present. We make stupid comparisons. We make ourselves feel poor because other people have more, instead of feeling blessed because there are others with so much less. We start caving into our cravings instead of resisting and persisting. A rational approach to thinking and living, to think smarter about the way we think, how we feel, and what we do, can break the cycle of insanity, where we think dumb stuff, do dumb stuff, upset ourselves, and then use that upsetness as permission to think more dumb stuff and do more dumb stuff. Is it possible to just talk ourselves out of it? It may feel like you can't. It'll never happen. It always fails, right? That's that disastrification coming out to get us. It may feel like we can't, but we can, and we do. Do you know how we know this? Because we talked ourselves into it. Because we talked ourselves into it, that's how we know. To some degree, our families talked us into it. We allowed our media-driven culture to talk us into it. We allowed other people to talk us into it. And how did that happen? Well, we talked ourselves into letting them, okay? And besides, when language is properly combined with images and experiences, we can call out that distorted BS, kick it to the curb, and free ourselves from being stuck. if we learned one way, we can learn another. That's all she wrote today. Thank you so much for learning. Stay rational. Until next time. Want to continue having coffee with Dr. Kashi? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It is very much appreciated. Thank you, and see you next week. Dr. Kashi is out!